SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number two live right here on the opening day of this new week. It is a Monday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. Two more hours to go. Now, firmly in the month of March, we are 6 days away from Selection Sunday when the NCAA tournament brackets will be unveiled. Where we stand right now in college basketball, the regular season is through. Regular season finale weekend at the high major level this past weekend, and we already have a bunch of tickets punched to the big dance. Five on the men's side, plenty more on the women's side, including those high major conference tournaments in women's college basketball, and a great week of conference tournament action ahead when the big boys enter the fold as well.
Yeah, it's a good time here. A lot of bubble teams looking to make runs. Maybe it's a North Carolina team with not a lot of successful victories this year that has to run the table just to get into the tournament. High-pressure situations. Coaches already getting fired, like Kevin Keats, who made a Final Four run last year and already out as the NC State coach. So they understand the magnitude. You better be putting up or you better shut up and get out of town.
Kevin Keats' dismissal, DRS, almost displaying the magic of March, because NC State was not a great basketball team last year, but got super hot in the ACC tournament. Five wins in 5 days. Carried that momentum all the way into the big dance, of course, reaching the Final Four as an 11 seed. So beware of those bit stealers like the Pack in the ACC tournament a season ago. Let's round out the NBA action from the weekend. Donnie, we know the Dallas Mavericks are going to be booked as an underdog a ton down the home stretch of this NBA campaign without Anthony Davis, without Kyrie Irving, and of course with Luka Doncic now in Los Angeles. Make it five consecutive L's for the Mavs in a victory the Suns had to have that they actually got yesterday on the road in Dallas. 125-116, a balanced effort out of Phoenix. They even cover as a 6.5-point road favorite.
The big three in the lineup there, Bradley Beal, 7 of 10 from the floor, Durant, 8 of 15 from the floor, and Devin Booker, 10 of 21. You're going to win a lot of basketball games just by playing the Dallas Mavericks in their current state right here, but still, the Phoenix Suns on the road is no guarantee ever at any time. But understand this, the biggest benefactor of the Dallas Mavericks falling apart due to trades and injury, it was the Phoenix Suns here. A veteran team that probably won't stick it out after this summer, maybe getting one last hurrah to try to make a playoff run, at least a play-in game run for the final parts of the season.
And with that win, only a game and a half out, that is Phoenix behind these very Dallas Mavericks, who have lost five straight. They have not covered in any of those five losses. The Mavs have been booked as an underdog in 13 of 16 games in total since the Luka Doncic deal. They started well, covering in five of those first six, but now they have not covered in six of the last seven. Phoenix had still lost 12 of their previous 16 tilts entering last night, but they did cover against Denver in the overtime thriller on Friday night, a big win yesterday on the road in Dallas. An exciting game in Los Angeles between the Clippers and the Sacramento Kings yesterday at the buzzer in OT. Kawhi Leonard wins it for Los Angeles. The Clips hold off the Kings 111-110. Sacramento does cover as a 6-point road underdog, but the Clippers do get that overtime victory by a single point.
Yeah, James Harden stepping back, and I should say winding the clock back over the past couple days. He's saying, you know what, I got to be more influential on offense. 10 of 19 from the floor, only 3 of 11 from three-point range, but still dipped in with 9 rebounds and 11 assists for 29 points in that game. They did every one of his 29 to have a chance at victory, and they got that. So maybe the Clippers finally starting to turn it around just a little bit after that slumber post-All-Star break.
It was a big slumber, DRS. They were 1-6 in their first seven since the All-Star break. Now make it three straight wins. Sacramento had won 5 of 6 entering last night. Now 5 of 7, but they have covered in all 7 games in a row for this Kings side. Competitive and a play-in tournament team out west alongside their California rivals, if you will, in the Clippers. All right, enough of the NBA. Let's get you to the NCAA tournament bracket starting to be filled because tickets were punched this weekend. Five in the men's NCAA tournament starting on Saturday night in the Ohio Valley Conference Championship game. Our top two seeds in that matchup, Southeast Missouri State looking for yet another bid, the second in their last 3 years, and SIU Edwardsville looking for its first ever time in the big dance, becoming a D1 school back in 2008. And that's exactly what SIUE did on Saturday evening in the OVC tournament title. A 21-point win, 69-48, over SEMO outright for SIUE as a 2.5-point dog.
Yeah, hard names here. Some people might have bet that basketball game like, well, who did I have there? Did I have SEMO? Did I have SIUE? Who did I have in this one? But it was clear, 69-48. It was an absolute rout here, punching their ticket. And as we said so many times, do we expect them to make a long, you know, term stay in March Madness? Not necessarily, but just getting there is the championship for these kids here. And maybe they can play bid stealer, per se. Like, hey, 2 seed, 3 seed, we'll give you a run for a first half or 3 quarters of the game. Maybe we'll get one of those here, but a big-time win there. First time ever to go, that's a big deal in sport in school history.
It will always be exciting to punch that ticket for the first time ever. It's what SIU Edwardsville does out of the Ohio Valley. Second best price as the 2 seed to win the conference tourney before it got started. Now let's get to the 4 tickets that were claimed yesterday. We start in the A Sun at home. Lipscomb in Nashville, a victory over North Alabama. UNA looking for its first ever time in the big dance. Lipscomb and Lenny Acuff looking to get back for the first time since 2018 in a crucial stretch late in the second half. Delivers that for the Bisons. An 11-point win, 76-65. Lipscomb covering as a 4.5-point home favorite. A huge, huge win for Lenny Acuff and company. 3 consecutive years of at least 20 wins, and now a ticket in the biggest of all dances.
Yeah, big time win too. And by the way, this wasn't an upset, like, or excuse me, a favorite that was just going to march over. Both of these teams, 14-4 in the A-Sun. But as we pointed out, as Ben just said, boy, it is a big advantage to have these championship games on your home court, and that showed up there, 76-65. Yeah. And also, I like that. That means that you respected the home court advantage throughout the season and said, you know what, we're going to give you a bump. Some of these neutral courts here, there's still a ton of excitement, but if you really want to reward these smaller mid-major type schools here, put them on their home court or at least have them as the higher seed at home. That tells you the regular season still means a lot as well.
The A-Sun tourney and the large majority of it will be played next year starting at a neutral site in Jacksonville. There is something beautiful about winning a conference championship, earning a berth to the NCAA tournament, and being able to celebrate as the students rush the court yesterday in Nashville. Great for Lenny Acuff and Lipscomb. A sensational, sensational season. High Point was the hefty favorite, DRS. A minus 250 favorite entering the conference tournament in the Big South. They were a sensational team. Alan Huss has this team moving forward in a great way, except yesterday, the Panthers were struggling mightily in their matchup against Winthrop. But High Point comes all the way back to win the Big South tournament title. High Point was trailing by 10 at the break, down by as many as 15 points in the second half. And it was the bench that got High Point to the pinnacle of college basketball in the Big South and a berth in the NCAA tournament. And just because they struggled in that tournament championship game, do not think High Point is unable to make some noise. A dangerous, dangerous team in the big dance. Could be a 12 or 13 seed as well.
Can play some defense, slow the tempo down, which could frustrate opponents. How many times do we see back in the days, like to say, the Ivy League getting there with Pete Carril and Princeton? Nobody wanted to face them, not because they're the best athletes, but it's such a maddening offense to try to stop. Now, a little bit different today. They're not running, you know, slow sets as they would be. But also understand this, 81-69, 52 points in the second half. How about Winthrop? Up 10 at the break. They thought they were going dancing, man. Boy, did they get hit in the head in the second half.
And it was all the bench. Point. Yeah. Alan Huss was like, all right, bench players, go out there and win it. And they did. Plenty more college basketball next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
all of the college basketball that there was from this outstanding weekend. We've got five tickets already claimed for the men's NCAA tournament. High Point, by the way, going to its first ever big dance in its 26th season at the D1 level. Allen Huss has been sensational. A combined record in his first 2 years there in High Point, North Carolina, 56-14, a 29-win season for the Panthers, and now they are dancing. Let's get you to Arch Madness in a sensational title game yesterday. The game we were hoping for, a matchup of one versus two. The top seed in Drake, the two seed in Bradley, the best three-point shooting team in the country. But the Braves went cold yesterday as Drake prevails once again. 63-48, the victory for the Bulldogs. They cover as a 2.5-point favorite. A very slow tempo. In fact, the slowest in college basketball for Ben McCollum's Bulldogs. So a total of 118 and a hook stays under. Third consecutive Missouri Valley Conference tournament title for Drake, which means their third consecutive appearance in the big dance. Their fourth in the last 5 years. But with Ben McCollum in Des Moines for the first year, a wildly sensational, successful season. 30 wins for Drake, a program record, and currently the only team at the D1 level with more than 28 victories this season.
Ah, the name of Drake actually having a good year for one thing. Not the singer, but the actual basketball team here. 63-48 was impressive, and you just hit the head. By the way, that low total, you get 31-27 at the break, you're like, man, I love this game. Great tempo. Love we're going over this thing. Only scored 21 points in the second half for Bradley, but it doesn't surprise us. Like, neutral court, unbelievable defenders in Drake, and also a very slow tempo. That's what you get here. So 63-48 is crazy to win by 15 points. It's a shame, too, because I don't really take a look all that much at the bubble standings. When you look at both of these teams, you wish both of them would have got in, but the travesty would have been right if Bradley had won over Drake, and Drake had 29 wins or whatever on the season as the way they finish up. That would have been devastating. So at least Drake, you know, is punching their ticket. It's just a shame that some of these other mid-majors that we would love to see play into March Madness doesn't happen. But in a couple years, we'll expand that tournament, and Bradley's going to get in, and we'll all be happy.
No, we're not going to. I hope we certainly do not. But to Donnie's point, Drake probably had the metrics to be an at-large team on this very weak bubble. Sadly, Bradley, despite 26 wins, 15 in the Valley, not exactly the metrics necessary, you would think, for a tournament-caliber resume. But pay attention to Drake. They could be a 10 seed, maybe an 11 seed. I will certainly be picking them to win at least one game in the NCAA tournament. They have been there four times in the last 5 years. They have not won a game, DRS, from the round of 64 on since 1971. Know the name Ben McCollum, an incredibly successful head coach at the D2 level at Northwest Missouri State, has carried that over immediately in year number one in Des Moines. Basically, with all the guys that he had at Northwest Missouri State, including Bennett Starts, the Missouri Valley Conference Player of the Year, 24 points, 5 made threes yesterday in the conference championship game. And if you are a trash can anywhere in an arena that the Omaha Mavericks enter, you better be darn scared. And that will continue into the NCAA tournament as the Mavericks are going dancing for the first time in program history. Became a D1 program back in 2012. It has been a historic season in Omaha, led by Chris Crutchfield, the Summit League Coach of the Year, with Markel Sutton, the Summit League Player of the Year. Omaha's first ever Summit League regular season crown, first ever Summer League tournament title, and first ever appearance in the NCAA tournament. And they made sure that it was earned. 85-75, DRS, the victory yesterday in the Summit League title game in Sioux Falls over St. Thomas. The Mavs were the underdog outright as the 3.5-point dog. The reason I say they made sure it was earned, St. Thomas, based on the archaic transition rule, ineligible to be an NCAA tournament team this year. Omaha had already claimed the spot in the big dance from the Summit League, entering the conference championship game and booked as the dog. Maybe we would debate the transition rule on this Monday morning. No need. The Mavericks take care of business.
They did, which is a true ticket punching here, which you love to see. That was directly earned, not, oh, well, you go, we beat you and this and that, which you thought might have a little bit more energy from St. Thomas, but Omaha understood. Look, when psychology comes into this as well, do you think Omaha was like, hey, we're in the dance, it's no big deal? Like, no, you want the championship true in your conference. That's what your goal is at the beginning of the season. Win your conference tournament championship, then go to March Madness, not reverse. Like, if we end up in the tournament, that's great, but how would you get there? It would have been interesting to see it play out, but for me, I'd over 76.5 as a team total for St. Thomas. Couple good looks late over the final minute and a half to get that. Yeah. Wasn't able to happen, but a fun game nonetheless. I thought we'd get great tempo in that game. We did. Just came up a little bit short on my wager, and that one's still after a good day. But Omaha, again, that's your true ticket punch here. Congratulations to those kids.
A total of 149.5 does sky over. Summit League overs this year were sensational, and you need a big performance out of your biggest players. J.J. White, 29 points. Markel Sutton pouring in 22 as well. Again, the Summit League Player of the Year. If you have not seen the tradition that Omaha has after a win where they beat the crap out of a trash can back in their locker room, you will see it. And it is one. What?
Was Altuve in there with them? Who else? Bregman? Who else was in that room with them?
Could be, man.
Who was
Could
it?
Be.
Yeah.
They had the mascot yesterday, Durango, making sure the job got done, and the trash can was assaulted. Huge for Omaha. 22 wins this year, the most in program history as a D1 school as well. In the regular season, now fully over in college basketball. But Donnie, you got that March feel on Saturday as well. What a clash on the plains between number one Auburn and number seven Alabama and the Iron Basketball. The Crimson Tide in overtime win it at the buzzer, 93-91. Mark Sears in the wonderful left hand wins it for the Crimson Tide on a floater as the clock hits triple zeros. The Tide win outright as a 7.5-point road dog against Auburn.
Got to be everybody's dream, right? Opposing gym, top team, get the winning shot at the buzzer, then tell the crowd all about how you came and you came to play for business here, and that's what's up. I love that. Shot, great win, great game.
We'll talk about that conference rivalry and what it means for the national title odds next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We'll recap the end of the regular season in college basketball at the high major level, and what an ending it was. Quickly, we go back to Auburn, the number one Tigers hosting the number seven Crimson Tide of Alabama in the rivalry game. Auburn won on the road in T-Town earlier in the regular season. Alabama returns the favor in OT, 93-91, outright as a 7.5-point dog. A total of 178 and a hook. Did need the extra 5 minutes, but it does push to the over. Jani Broome, who had a huge game, hit a game-tying three with about 15 seconds left. The Crimson Tide come down the other side of the floor, and Mark Sears at the buzzer. A floater from the mid-range is good. Alabama this year, DRS, 6-1 against the number as an underdog with 5 outright victories. It's how they end out the regular season. The victory in the rivalry game knocking off the Tigers. Now, Auburn still, of course, claimed the outright SEC crown in the regular season, but they did drop both of their final two games in their final week of the regular season.
Look, it's going to happen in the SEC. Every night is a grind there, and they still went 15-3, which is fine. And they say, oh, you know, we just didn't show up in the final game of the season and really got killed. That was an overtime game against a rival in a top 10 game here that was payment back for just a few weeks earlier, where Alabama had lost at home. So I love to see this passion, but I'm not going to downgrade Auburn because they lost that last two games here. No. I want to see what they do in the SEC tournament. Also understand this. If you won Auburn in the tournament here, not the SEC tournament, you would love them to be a quick exit in this thing. You know what? Instead of getting a plus 380 price, it's now a plus 420 price. It's crazy that the teams that I am eyeing up for March Madness, I want them to be quick exits here to sort of get them off that front plate. Like, if you want Auburn, what's worse for you, Ben? Go all the way through the SEC tournament, win it easily in advance? No, then they're going to become probably a favorite once again over Duke. That's not what you want here. No injuries. Don't get embarrassed. Head off to March Madness and get me a better price.
In the Wooden Awards are now the Wooden Award odds are now down, but Jahni Broom, 34 points, 8 boards, 5 blocks, 3 dimes, 3 steals on Saturday against Alabama, albeit in a losing effort. Donnie not downgrading the Tigers. I wonder how Auburn ends the AP poll at the end of the regular season. Will they still be number one? Probably not. You would think that would be Duke. And to Donnie's point, Donnie not downgrading the Tigers, but the odds makers ever so slightly as we have a new national championship favorite at the end of the regular season. Again, those Blue Devils. Number two, Duke, goes into the Dean Dome on Saturday. A huge game for North Carolina in the Tobacco Road rivalry. The Tar Heels entered on a 6-game win streak, but just one quad one win all season long. If UNC could pull the upset against their most bitter foe, maybe, just maybe, they would be on the right side of the bubble. And in the opening half, Carolina came to play. They were down by one at the break in a high-scoring opening 20 minutes, and then Duke proving why they might be that best team in the country in the second 20 minutes as the Blue Devils prevail 82-69. Covering is a 10.5-point favorite, shutting down Carolina in the second half. Duke ends the regular season with the regular season outright title. They'll be the one seed in Greensboro in the ACC tournament, and they have won 8 straight games, covering in their last 7. The dominance Duke displayed this year, even in a down ACC, otherworldly out of John Shire and his Dukies in year number 3.
That was fantastic, and it really was a culmination on Saturday where you can get that last punch knowing how much North Carolina needed that. 22,000 strong in there. The place was erupting. They were making comebacks. You had foul trouble for your superstars with Cooper Flagg, and then the second half completely take control down the stretch. You go on the road and shoot 56% from the floor, 47% from three-point range, and 85% from the free throw line. That's going to come away with victories more times than not. 19-1 in ACC play for the Duke Blue Devils. With that young team to start, fantastic, man. Absolutely.
14-6 against the spread in ACC play as well, with a 21.7 point per game average margin of victory. And again, they were booked as at least an 8-point favorite. 8-point favorite in every single ACC game, or at least 19 of 20, maybe the Clemson game, a little bit of a tighter number. North Carolina entering the weekend, minus 114 on both sides to make the big dance or to miss. I bet the no, because I didn't think Carolina would pull off the upset. They are 1-11 in quad one games this year. And Carolina on the FanDuel Sportsbook as of this morning, minus 1600 to miss the NCAA tournament. I have no idea what the minus 114 price was doing there on Saturday. I mean, minus 950, so maybe not as extreme, but still minus 950 to miss. The coach joins us up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Monday morning on the Early Line on Sports Grid, it is time for the scouting report at each and every level around the sport of basketball. In the NBA first, and then a ton of college basketball conversations as we fully enter conference tournament week in the postseason at every single level in college hoops with our coach, J.Y. James Young. J.Y., as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here. A half hour of JY on this Monday morning to go through everything we need around the hardwood handicaps.
It's great to be here. I know it's NFL free agency, but it's still March, Ben. It's still March, and this is our time to shine.
The regular season now done everywhere in college basketball. A few more weeks of the regular season in the association. So trying to crystallize what the playoff picture is going to look like in the NBA. And there is very, 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 very little doubt, JY, that Oklahoma City will be the one seed in the Western Conference. Now a 12-game advantage after they stomped on the Nuggets yesterday at home, 127-103. OKC covers as a 7.5-point favorite. We'll get to the individual component and the MVP race angle of this game in just a moment. But JY, from the team perspective, the Thunder make a statement that far and away, they are the best team out West. What did Oklahoma City show you?
that their firepower is absolutely dynamic and that they can hit you in so many different ways. And now with Chet back, Hartenstein back after a second injury, Ben, now they're looking whole. And now they're looking even more dangerous come down the stretch. To look at a team in a game that I think was a one-possession game going into the fourth quarter and to outscore a team 41-20 is just a testament to this team. And it's one of these things where, like, you start peeling back the box score. You're like, oh, wow, you know, a guy like Michael Porter Jr., well, he was fantastic, right? 24-15. He was a minus 33. Right, so you got to start looking at just not the stats, but how it relates to how players are on the floor. Obviously, we'll talk about SGA in a second, but Jaleel Williams, fantastic. The ability to block shots with four. They hit you in waves, and it comes to a point where they can pick who is the guy that's going, and usually, here's the problem. You don't have enough defenders to deal with all of those scores with OKC.
If we take a look at the remaining schedule for, you know, the teams like, to say, the Cleveland Cavaliers and Oklahoma City Thunder, the reason I bring that up is they're within a game of each other for home court advantage throughout the playoffs, which includes the NBA Finals. If you look at OKC in the Western Conference, Coach, they have a 12-game lead over both the Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. How do you play the rest of this season? Because the one thing we understand, if you can just get OKC healthy to the playoffs and the number one seed in the West, I think they're going to punch their ticket to the final. But how important is it to have home court advantage all the way through, which means you're playing gas up the rest of the way and then starting the playoffs, and that doesn't guarantee that you do get the top overall seed.
Right. It's a tricky situation, right, because you have Cleveland on a 14-game winning streak and you have Oklahoma City on a 7-game winning streak. It's like, well, who's going to lose first? Now, I know there's a game coming up. I think it's Wednesday. I'm not mistaken. I think it's OKC-Boston, I'm not mistaken. I think they play it coming up in a couple of days, which will be, you know, another litmus test for these teams. But when you look at it, you kind of have to play both, right? You got to make sure you're playing great basketball at the playoffs come playoff time. But once you get to about the 10-game mark, you may start to dial it down a little bit, which would be interesting because both teams, you know, Cleveland with an 8-game lead and Oklahoma City with an 11-game lead, you may see them start to dial it down a little bit come the last 8 to 10 games of the regular season.
And to Donnie's point, a 1-game advantage right now for Cleveland. We'll talk the Cavs in just a moment in terms of best overall record. JY's point, OKC does visit TD Garden and the reigning champs, the Celtics, on Wednesday evening. Boston, though, still the favorite out east. So if it were to be the Celtics and the Thunder, as the odds makers predict, Oklahoma City would have that home floor advantage. JY, another component of yesterday's game was the MVP race. It does seem as though Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in pole position, but after NBA history on Friday night, a 30-20-20 game for the first time ever around the association by Nikola Jokic, that margin got a little bit tighter. But then SGA went out there, poured in 40 for a third consecutive game, and is now back to a minus 600 favorite to win that NBA MVP hardware. Is it over, JY? Do we still have a little bit left outstanding? What do you make of the MVP race right now in the NBA?
To quote the great Chuck D of Public Enemy, shut him down. Just shut it down. Donnie likes that little 90s hip-hop reference.
He does. There you go.
When you look at it, guys, listen. Here's the crazy thing about SGA. Flavor, blame. If you take out just a three-point shooting yesterday, SGA was 13 for 21 from 2. Could you imagine if he didn't shoot 2 of 11 from 3? He would have had a 50-piece. So that's even the crazy thing is he played great, but he could have played better. You listen, at the end of the day, great run. The triple-double, and then they get the triple-double again in a way by the Joker Friday night was fantastic. But when you have this guy doing, and this team with an 11-game lead, shut it down. SGA is the MVP.
Yeah, it's fun to watch this play out, and it is deserving because I always like to say, Coach, like you have to be the MVP like a year ahead of your MVP season. He was right in there last year and even taking his game to the next level, and he has the best team in the NBA, particularly between him and Cleveland. I think he gets the award done. But let's shift over to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're beating teams any which way possible, Coach, which means if they need to drop 125, 130 to 135, they can do that. They want to hold you to 100 points, they can do that as well, which they did yesterday. A 112-100 win. These are the wins I like, Coach, because you don't don't bring your A game. You shoot 44% from the floor and still win by double digits. The depth of the Cleveland Cavaliers is impressive. They handled the Bucks yesterday. The sky is the limit, coach. 25-6, not at home, on the road for the Cavaliers this year.
And I think the thing, we've talked about this, what's so impressive about what's going on in Cleveland is the fact that it's not just Donovan Mitchell. Take for this, folks, out of the 14-game winning streak, they've had five different players lead the team in scoring. So now you're looking at a team where, listen, we don't get the best performance out of our superstar player, right? But you get other guys that would turn around and step up. And then for the case of yesterday, it was Max Strus with 17 points, offsetting the 4 of 15 for Donovan Mitchell. They had five guys in double figures. And I think that is what makes them so scary, Donnie, is when you look at these teams, right? And I think you have it mostly with Boston in a sense, right? With their big four, maybe Horford gets going, maybe big five, you know, Pritchard, what he can do. But you look at Cleveland, and they are literally nine deep. And any one of those guys can get you. That makes it overly difficult as a coach to scout. Why? Because you're like, all right, we take away Mitchell. Well, then we're going to go to Mobley. You take away Mobley, then inside to Allen. We take away Allen, now it's going to Garland, right? Then it's going to Strus. And we haven't even gotten to the bench of Dean Wade, of DeAndre Hunter, of Isaac Okoro, of Ty Jerome, of Sam Merrill. Like, they hit you in waves, Donnie. And that's what makes them impressive is you said it best. They can outscore you. They can outgrind you. Whatever they need to do, Kenny Atkinson has done a magnificent job this year in Cleveland.
So, Jay Y, in the final minute of this segment, the odds continue to shorten on the Cavs' price to win the Eastern Conference crown, but the Celtics still remain that odds-on favorite at minus 135. Does Cleveland have to show you anything else throughout the remainder of this regular season that would prove that the Cavs are the best test to Boston out East?
No, because when it comes down to Cleveland, it comes down to, can they do it in the playoffs? Now, I know you could say new coach, new team, but it's still, for the most part, Ben, the same cast of characters. So I got to see them in a playoff spot. What's interesting you're going to look at, too, is how it's to start the lineup, especially with Brunson's injury to the Knicks. I think it's best for the Knicks to go to the 4 seed and try to go through Cleveland that way rather than go through Boston. So also, matchups may make this a little bit different.
A lot of postseason positioning to be figured out in both conferences, even if the number one seeds, Cleveland out east, OKC out west, seem pretty firm at this point. But enough about the NBA. It's the month of March. College basketball with JY up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. The opening, well, I guess second full weekend in the month of March, but our opening weekend of conference tournament action in the regular season finale weekend around high major level men's college basketball. JY is here to talk about the tickets that were punched for the men's NCAA tournament this weekend. One on Saturday in the OVC tournament title game, SIUE pulls off the upset, winning outright as a 2.5-point dog in their matchup against SEMO to get to the big dance for the first time. JY, on that board, you see five teams. Three of those five heading to the NCAA tournament for the first time in program history. SIU, Edwardsville, the Omaha Mavericks, and High Point as well. Overall this weekend, JY, of the teams that have already made it to the big dance, what was your favorite moment? What was your favorite conference championship game? What was your favorite story of the weekend that was?
Well, listen, it's one of those things where you have to be playing your best basketball at this time of year. And really, you can't have a slip up of any point. So to me, I look at Lipscomb. You know, they have their star player, 20-18, but the play of Joe Anderson in the tournament, giving you 28-25-23, a guy that's a fifth-year guy, the last year of guys that can come in through the COVID portal, right, that gets that fifth year of eligibility. To go ahead and see what he did in that performance was absolutely fantastic. But then you look at a game like High Point, completely different. Not the star players. A team down 15 minutes left to go. Your season is on the line. And for them to go on a run that they did, not the 14 straight wins, but to win it with 44 players from your bench in the second half? Like, you want to talk about things that come out of nowhere. What they did is an essence of a team. And when you, as a coach, when you have, you always tell your bench guys, stay ready, stay ready. You don't know when I'm coming to you. Well, Alan Hust, a disciple of Greg McDermott, went to his bench, and they're going to the NCAA tournament. Congrats to them.
Yeah, it's great to watch it play out. Perfect storm there in the second half, making those adjustments in a certainly a pressure-filled environment. Talking about pressure-filled environments, we got the high majors this week, Coach, and we can't wait to watch afternoon basketball. It's that nice appetizer while we wait for next week's March Madness. Let me start you off in the ACC. Impressive victory for Duke at North Carolina. If we line up the ACC, they are the favorites of Duke Blue Devils to cut down the nets in the tournament at a -340 price, followed by Louisville, Clemson, and then North Carolina. Probably needs to run the table to win the ACC and punch their ticket into March Madness. Any chances Louisville or Clemson factor into this tournament and can pull down a +650 or 7-1 price here?
Well, at some point, you're going to have to figure out, is Duke going to give you a bad game, right? You have to worry about this. You remember when I think when Dan Hurley didn't even win the Big East tournament a couple of years ago when they went on a huge run in the tournament. Sometimes you want to get that bad game out of your system now, right, before you get to the tournament. So that you have to wonder. So you look at a team like Louisville, can they do something to push Duke? Pat Kelsey's done a great job coming over from Charleston. That team is dynamic. He's got a team that can rock. And then you never wonder about Duke. I know they're young. Like, can the spot get too big? What happened? That's the thing you have to worry about with Duke, right? The only thing. I know it sounds crazy. What happens if they're in a really tight game the last 3 minutes? They haven't been in one. So that's the thing we don't know about Duke yet, is how can those young kids handle the pressure, because they literally blow teams out the water.
And that's the thing, right? What if Duke has a bad game? It feels as though the Blue Devils' bad game right now is still about 4 or 5 points better than any other team around the ACC. But you can find some value from the bottom side of that bracket. Louisville, the 2 seed. Clemson, the 3 seed. Also very successful ACC seasons. Only 2 losses for either team. Of course, a story will be North Carolina, the 5 seed. They'll get the winner on Wednesday of an opening round matchup between Notre Dame and Pittsburgh. UNC doesn't care about that one. They need to win that one. They need to beat Wake Forest. And then they might be able to see their rivals in the Blue Devils again in the semifinals on Friday. That could provide a quad one opportunity that UNC desperately needs, or miss the tournament for the second time in the last 3 years. JY, how about some of those other conference tournaments that we have? In the Big 12, Houston has been in pole position each of the 2 seasons in the league. The Big 10, although Michigan State won the league outright by 3 games, should be an exciting conference tournament in Indianapolis. And of course, we'll get to the Big East in just a matter of moments. But when you talk about maybe the most highly anticipated SEC men's basketball tournament ever, that's what we can expect this week in Nashville. 4 of the 6 best prices to win a national championship out of the Southeastern Conference. How much of a gauntlet, JY, will the tournament title be out of the SEC?
You get worried that the team that comes out of the SEC, how much are they going to have left when they get to the following week? Because it is going to be a gauntlet. And you look at the prices, 4 teams at 5-1 or better in regards to winning. And obviously, Auburn's come back to a little bit of a pack, losing 2 games in a row. Maybe they've gotten their bad blood out of the system. And you got to, what do you say? I mean, they lose a game in overtime on a pull-up runner, jumper, floater, whatever you want to call it, Mark Sears shot. They're sitting at +150. To me, you got to look at Alabama if they continue to play better. See, for me, what Alabama is about, the defensive end. Can he play defense? Can Grant Nelson play out of foul trouble? And as great as Jani Broome was on Saturday, what I did like about what Nate Oates did a lot, go to Nelson, let him go at Broome, and make Broome play defense on the other side of the floor. Alabama at +370, really intriguing to me. I think they could cut down the net to win the SEC tournament.
That expected semifinal matchup on Saturday between Florida and Alabama, the Gators, the 2 seed, the Crimson Tide, the 3 seed. That could be a game that decides who earns a 1 seed in the NCAA tournament. Very exciting. Florida absolutely routing Ole Miss in its regular season finale. I still think the Gators, and some were talking about it even during the Iron Basket Bowl, might be the best team out of the SEC. I think Florida is that good. That will be a great conference tournament. We'll talk Big Ten, Big 12, and of course the action we will see not far away from us this week at the world's most famous arena in the Big East tournament with JY on the other side of the break. This is the beautiful time of year in college basketball. Conference tournament week at the high major level, still with many more tickets to be punched in college hoops. Plenty more on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue breaking down every aspect at every level of basketball, now specifically in college hoops, with our coach, J.Y. James Young. Big East, Big 12, Big Ten. JY, let's focus on Madison Square Garden for just a moment. We talked about the overtime thriller in the Iron Basket Bowl to end out the regular season between Auburn and Alabama on Saturday. How about the overtime thriller to start off the day inside the Pfizer Forum in Milwaukee between Marquette and St. John's? What are the best sequences of 3 seconds of basketball from team basketball I have ever seen? Marquette looks to get an offensive rebound after a defensive rebound after an R.J. Lewis miss. But Kadarius Richmond pokes the ball free, ends up in Simeon Wilcher's hands. He dishes it off to Zubi Edgefor, who beats the buzzer to win it for the Johnnies in overtime to win their regular season finale against Marquette. Of course, St. John's will enter MSG. Home floor advantage, although declared neutral site games by the quad perspective in terms of their NCAA tournament resume, as the favorites, JY, have been to win the Big East tournament crown as well. Will St. John's do so? And if not, who provides the toughest test for Rick Pitino and the Red Storm?
You know, listen, you can think it could be UConn because they're so flaky. And obviously you saw what they did, absolutely demolishing poor Shaheen Holloway and Seton Hall a couple of days ago. But, you know, when you really look at it, to me, the team that's intriguing is what we get out of Creighton. This is a Creighton team that I know it doesn't look great now, did beat Kansas as an overall number one team at home. You have an experienced team with Ashford, obviously with Kalkbrenner at 7-1. Game slows down. Defensive rim protection becomes important. Craig McDermott's done a great job. So to me, Creighton is a team I would look at as to be the most dangerous. The team that needs the biggest run, that will be Villanova, because everybody's saying if they don't win all these games straight out, Kyle Neptune is gone. So they need it more than anyone, which then could make an intriguing matchup in the quarters if they win 6-11 to go beat UConn, go play UConn in the 3-6 game, a team that they were up by 15 at UConn in the second half a couple of weeks ago.
If we take a look at all these conference tournaments, Coach, what do you get out of these here? Like, when we're looking towards building a team towards a championship and getting momentum, do you have to make a deep run here? Is it a team that you look to get knocked out early? It's going to have redemption and some time off where maybe they don't have tired legs going into next week. What do you get out of this week's high major tournaments?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a mixed bag, Donnie, to be honest with you. If you're a team that's not playing well, I know they just lost, you know, Marquette's been up and down. For a team like them, they need to kind of start to win and kind of get their mojo going. If it's a team like Duke, you may need to lose. Even St. John's, a team that is playing phenomenal basketball, would it be the worst thing? Devion Smith's already questionable for the game, according to John Rothstein an hour ago. So does St. John's, does it look better for them to be bowed out maybe in the round, you know, in the semifinals? It all depends on the team and what they need. If you're playing bad, you got to play well right now. If you're playing great, maybe a bad game, get it out of your system before the tournament. It helps.
March is about momentum. You want to play your best basketball in the biggest of games, but you don't want to use all of your best basketball before the chaotic tournament known as Madness. JY, as we look at the national championship prices right here, right now, after Duke goes into Chapel Hill and wins, Auburn drops its final two games of the regular season. The Blue Devils now enter the postseason at large as those national title favorites to cut down the nets exactly 5 weeks from tonight in San Antonio. Maybe not even 5 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it might be. But Jay White, when you look at those prices to win a national championship, is there a team everybody needs to know and maybe wager on at this exact moment before conference tournament week at the high major level begins?
I'm intrigued at Iowa State at 25-1 if they are healthy. If they're healthy, they're one of the five best teams in the country, and they got enough firepower to score. There is a little concern I have with Duke, and people, not enough people talking about it. John Lucas took the job at Miami and left after Saturday. That's the associate head coach. That's the guard coach. Everybody's got to step up. How does that like work with teams? I know when you get to tournament, you're kind of rolling with scouting reports. It's a little bit different, more on the other assistants' plates. St. John's all about matchups, but that's the key, Ben. Matchups. You got to have the right matchups in the tournament. You may have to wait for the brackets to come out before you place your bets.
And that's the interesting component, right? Yep. Do you have value at this moment? Is there a price you need to grab right here, right now? Or should you wait till the bracket is unveiled in 6 days and then get back down on those national championship numbers? JY, a fadeaway to the break. I'm sure we'll see you later this week. Hour number 3 of the Early Line next.